The views and opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of Overseas Radio Network or broadcast partners. All information provided is for educational purposes only. Before taking action, consult a licensed professional.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
This week on Columbia Calling, with your host Richard McCall, we talk about all things Columbia and talk to a very interesting character, Justin Cohen, a native of Chicago, who several years ago came to Columbia and, seeing the need for an independent travel guide, although he was working as a teacher in a private school on the North Coast, ended up writing his own travel guide. This was a success, but then he had to flee the country. Why did he flee? Well, we try and find out here on Columbia Calling. We try and dispel some of the myths about Columbia. And also we're listening to Justin Cohen and his new project, which is called My Epic Failure and Slow Rise from the Abyss. Justin fell into a deep depression on having to flee Columbia. We ask why, we ask how, and we ask how he can make this new project a success. We need more text about Columbia. So Justin is on. Don't go away. Listen to Columbia Calling on later.
You're tuned in to OverseasRadio.com, your online radio resource about life abroad.
Just finished school? Newly retired? Looking for a change? Get certified to teach English and move abroad like thousands do every year. Global TESOL College comes to Costa Rica, the global organization that trains and certifies more ESL instructors than any other organization of its kind. For the past 15 years, we've trained and certified over 40,000 graduates in the field of TESOL. Live the dream of staying and studying at the beach. You will be living at one of our beautifully centrally located accommodation options in Jaco Beach on Costa Rica's Pacific Coast. With a school, beach, and great restaurants all within walking distance, in a safe community with all the convenience of back home, discover why so many choose to earn their teaching certificate in Jaco Beach, Costa Rica. Visit us today for more information at www.globaltesolcostarica.com. That's global TESOL CostaRica.com. Mention this ad when you enroll and receive $50 off your tuition. Enroll with a friend and receive $100 off. The world is waiting for you, and Global TESOL College is your ticket.
From China's Great Wall to the Leaning Tower of Pisa, this is the Overseas Radio Network.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Richard McCall. This is Columbia Calling. We're here to demyth, debunk, and talk all things Columbia. This week, we have a very special guest called Justin Cohen. He's a native of Chicago, as I mentioned in our teaser. Justin came here several years ago and was working in a private school up on the North Coast in the Guajira region, actually near to the big, or in the big complex of the coal mine, the Cerrejón. Justin has a vast background in international teaching in Taiwan, in Honduras, and in Colombia, and of course in California, in his native United States. Anyway, he saw the need, he saw the opening and the possibility for writing a new independent guidebook, which he published 3 years ago, called Explore Travel Guides Colombia. He dedicated it to the capital, Bogota, and the North Coast, which is presumably and possibly the most visited part of Colombia, because you can get international flights in from the United States and from Europe straight into Cartagena, Barranquilla, sometimes into Santa Marta. And so people come directly in from there and stay only on the Caribbean section. Listen, you know, most of these are looking for history and sun, sand, sea. Anyway, Justin had an interesting experience. He published his book. He started his sort of book tour and had to flee Colombia. Now this, you know, conjures up images of all sorts of terrible stories. But anyway, Justin is now writing a book about this experience called My Epic Failure and Slow Rise from the Abyss, this dramatic title, will shed some light on what went on, what led him to having to flee Colombia. He ended up going back home, living with his parents in Chicago, and was in a deep funk, a deep depression. But fortunately, ended up getting another job in an international school and pulling himself together back in Taiwan. And then has come back to Colombia. He's come back to Colombia. This is sort of a cathartic journey. And he's making a project of it. This is a crowdfunded project, so he'll need your help. We're going to talk all about the crowdfunding. We're going to plug his sites, and we're going to talk to Justin and hear his opinions. And of course, if he gifts us with any or regales us with any of the small tales or terrible tales of his time in Colombia or what made him flee, of course you've heard it here first on Colombia Calling. But before we enter into the segments with Justin, I'll talk a little bit about what's been going on in Colombia. One piece of news that might have made the international press is, of course, the women of Pereira, a city in the coffee zone, intermediate city, nice, pleasant. Nothing overwhelming, but a pleasant city, a good place to spend some time. Not far from Armenia, not far from Manizales, and not far from Medellin. Anyway, the women of Pereira are tired of the reputation and the image that they have of being easy. Easy in terms as you know, easy to bed. The city has been written up with this in mind. And the women of Pereira have said, yeah, no more. We don't want this image anymore, neither do we need it here in Colombia or internationally. We are, you know, we are good people anyway. So the women of Pereira were out marching the other day to protest the image that they have, which I don't know whether it actually has helped them or has drawn more light on the fact that perhaps there are some, obviously, bad elements in Pereirana society. But we wish them all the best. I don't believe the city to be a sort of hotbed of easy women. So we're going to debunk that myth later with Justin Cohen. What else has been going on? Well, we're now into almost the fifth day of national strikes through Colombia. Miners, farmers blocking the roads, violent scenes between sort of the police, riot police, and local farmers. And they're all protesting, you know, very legitimate, for very legitimate reasons. But we hope that this will come to a peaceful end soon and people can continue to travel and their highways will no longer be blocked in Colombia. This is an important and a big test for the government of Juan Manuel Santos. Two big pieces of news around Juan Manuel Santos, the president. He has called for a change in the constitution that would allow for a referendum to be voted on regarding the peace dialogues or the peace accords with the FARC guerrilla group. As you will know, as those of you who have been listening to this show will know, that for over 6 months, the government of Juan Manuel Santos has been engaged in peace dialogues with the largest guerrilla group in the country. They've been in a conflict with the state for more than 50 years at great cost, both human and economic. And yes, there will be a referendum, probably get pushed through. And this is obviously, what we can see is it's a complete, the lines have been drawn for the elections in 2014. So if you can vote for your president, you will also be able to, vote what you think of the possible peace accord. So it will be either a vote, it will be drawn up as a vote for peace or a vote against peace. So we'll, I think we know how that will go. But it all depends on how much the government is prepared to cede to the guerrillas. And, Colombia has a long memory. And a lot of people have suffered and continue to suffer here. So it'll be a very interesting and it's a very curious development in the politics, in Colombian politics at the moment. What else is going on? Unless Bogota's mayor comes up with some idea why he should remain in power, there will be some sort of almost like a referendum voting on whether they want him in or want him out. And it's been a long time in coming, and I guess the conservative elements, but I'm not talking relative conservatives, I'm talking ultra-right-wing elements who are unhappy with a former guerrilla running the capital city as mayor, will probably have quite a lot to say about this. And I'm sure you'll see this as a platform for various people launching their presidential campaigns, if they can get Gustavo Petro out of office. My feeling, Colombia Calling's feeling, let the guy do his job. He was voted in, and also, it's a massive, massive, let's say, quiver, an arrow in the quiver of Colombia's political skyline to say, listen, look at this. It is possible for an ex-guerrilla to rise up in the hierarchy of the political world here and contribute. Like him or not, like his politics or not, he's sending a message to the other guerrillas out there. That's what I feel. I may not be in agreement with much of his politics. I may not be in agreement with the traffic. I may not be in agreement with the weather. But he got voted in. You know? The people voted for Gustavo Petro. This does not make me a Petrista. This does not make me an anti-Petrista. But let him do his job. Let him send the message that it is possible. Send the message out to the guerrillas out there that it is possible in Colombia to have an important role in politics and try and define the way the country is going forward. So, important times in Colombia. Very, very important times. Don't go away. We'll be talking shortly with Justin Cohen of Explore Travel Guides Colombia. I'm Richard McCall. This is Colombia Calling. Thank you.
OverseasRadio.com, broadcasting from Panama to Paris and beyond.
Are you looking to invest, live, or retire overseas? Before you pack your bags, you need to log on to NagelLaw.com. It's the only stop you need to make for global business, asset protection, estate planning, overseas residency, and citizenship needs. Our experts have experience working in 41 countries around the world. Starting a business abroad can be overwhelming without expert help. We assist clients with foreign trust, foundations, corporations, LLCs, IBCs, and property acquisition. Need help with IRA assets abroad, capital formation, foreign securities issues, banking, brokerage, or finance needs? NagelLaw.com. We ensure compliance with U.S. tax and regulatory laws. We engineer global structures to help our clients achieve their personal business objectives. Get started today. To find out about our introductory personal asset protection plan, visit us online, NagelLaw.com. We represent capital overseas.
This tree was never chopped down because this crutch never needed to be carved. Because these legs never grew weak. Because this child never got polio. Over the past 20 years, Rotary Club members have helped immunize over 2 billion children against polio. Now we're on the brink of eradicating this crippling disease once and for all. But we need your help. Thanks to an historic matching grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, every dollar Rotary raises will work twice as hard to make sure vaccines reach the people who need it, to protect the children of the world against polio forever. This is an opportunity to end polio now. Visit rotary.org/endpolio. Rotary, humanity in motion.
You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network, the exclusive online radio station for the expatriate community.
Good afternoon. This is Richard McCall. You're listening to Colombia Calling. I'm here today with a very special guest. Every week is a special guest, but this week's a very special guest, a personal friend of mine called Justin Cohen. He's a native of Chicago. And this is a, you know, an entrepreneurial type guy. He's been here in Colombia for a while. He left. He went off to the Far East, came back, on his, first stint here. Justin, wrote a book about Colombia. He was working in an international school up on the north coast, up in the Guajira region, a desert region close to Venezuela, and decided and saw the need for an independent travel guide about Colombia. And he wrote to the Explore Travel Guides Colombia, and he published it himself. And, you know, you can still find it in various hostels and hotels around the country. And I've seen it in a bookstore here in Bogota. And Justin has come back to update this edition. He's had many adventures here in Colombia, and he's writing about that too. So he's looking for crowdfunding for his adventures and for a tale
about the book that he plans to write. This is a narrative of his time in Colombia, which, of course, as always in Colombia, things are adventurous. And well, Justin, welcome to the show. Thank you very much for coming on.
Hi, Richard. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome, Justin. Now, listen, you were in Colombia a few years ago, and you saw the need for a new travel guide, and you came up with the idea for Explore Travel Guides Colombia. What made you create this new venture?
Well, basically, when I first came to Colombia in 2009, I bought a large motorcycle, a Kawasaki 650, and I basically traveled all over Colombia. And during that time, I traveled with a different guidebook, and I just had a lot of problems with the book. And I, through research and through talking to a lot of people, I found that at the time there wasn't a reliable guide out on Colombia. And one of my lifelong dreams was to own my own business, and I saw the opportunity, and I just had such a wonderful experience living and traveling in Colombia. I decided that I wanted to focus on starting my own travel guide business on Colombia.
Now, it's interesting, this. I mean, you know, we'll have people on in the future who are doing similar things, and we've had people on who are always, you know, Colombia, I think, awakens a sort of entrepreneurial spirit in people. You see opportunity and you see possibilities. I mean, this is from your years working as a teacher in California in public schools, and also in international schools. I know you've worked in Honduras and in Taiwan. But what do you think it is about Colombia that makes that, you know, there's no, let's not name any names, but travel guides are pretty poor and pretty thin on the ground here. So, I mean, there was a perfect opening for you.
Yeah, I believe the opening was there. And this was 3 years ago when I took that opening, and it's still available. And I know for a fact there is another major travel guide company in Colombia right now releasing a guide in February. And I have no question that guide will be the best travel guide on Colombia when it's released. And for me, that's obviously a challenge, because now I have not only the guys that are out there now to compete with, but I have one that's going to be beyond the money and be really well sold. So, but I'm up for the challenge because there is so much opportunity in Colombia. Colombia basically is a very open country that wherever you go, you can just throw yourself into the culture and immerse yourself with the people and learn so much every day. And basically all I really have to do is point my camera and click, and Colombia does all the work for me. So these opportunities are there, and it's just about really bearing down and taking them.
Yeah. When I've actually met this other author, and I'm not going to mention his book because I'm hoping to get him on here at another date. but competition is good. You know, the fact that if you can get your book alongside, let's say, other books, and give people, you know, an option, because previously there were no options. Now there are a few more books out there, but previously there were no options. And also, you know, what you represent is an independent travel guide. It's your opinion. It's you've been on the ground, you've lived in the country, so therefore you're offering a very unique and honest opinion. So I hope, so, you know, this is what we've noticed, you know, those who've read the Explore Travel Guides Colombia know that it's an honest book. I mean,
yeah, I believe a travel guide needs to be on Colombia, needs to be updated every year. Colombia is so dynamic, and it's growing. The growth is so immense. And the country is so immense, and there's so much to do here and so much to see, that the method of every 2 or 3 years of covering Colombia is not going to cut it anymore. And that's really the premise behind my operation, is that I'm in Colombia, I live in Colombia, I have a lot of connections in Colombia, so that I can update my book. If I have to update my book every six months to a year, I have that capability. And I'm really hoping that I can keep pushing forward and live that dream and make that come a reality.
Now, you were in Colombia and you went away, and so you're saying that it needs to be updated every year. In the few years that you've been away, Colombia has changed massively. How have you seen it change?
Well, the biggest change since my book was released in February of 2011, so it's been almost 2.5 years. Yeah, biggest change is our restaurants and the nightlife. It's changed so quickly. It's amazing. I'm in Bogota now, and I would say in my Candelaria section, half the restaurants have closed in 2 years, and these are really good restaurants. And this happens throughout the whole country. A lot of things like, you know, the museums and the attractions all stay the same. The prices changed a little bit, but that's really about it. Also, the hostels, it's amazing that in Bogota alone, how many hostels are new. There's probably 10 to 15 new hostels that are in my book that I got to check out this year.
Yeah. No, I think in the Candelaria, there's probably around 45 to 50 hostels. The Candelaria is the colonial downtown section. It's the historic section of Bogota, where anyone coming to Bogota has to visit because, of course, the Gold Museum is nearby. It's technically in Las Aguas, I think, but the Gold Museum is nearby, and you've got the Botero Museum, and you've got other, you know, wonderful sites, and they've got the most visited library in the world, more visited than the New York Public Library, the Luis Angel. El Arango. So, you know, everyone has to go at some point to the Candelaria. And of course, that's where, let's say, budget or not even budget, there are boutique hotels now in the Candelaria where previously people would have feared to tread. But, you know, things are improving, I think. But we can talk about that later.
There's no question that you must visit La Candelaria when you come to Colombia. I think that if you don't, you're missing out on a big part of the journey. The museums here are just unbelievable. And you mentioned the Gold Museum and the Botero Museum. They're fabulous, but there's also the Museum of the National, the Police Museum. There's maybe 10 to 15 sites that you have to see just in this area alone that are must views. And I would say the majority of foreigners who come through miss a lot of the attractions just based on not being aware of them. So it's nice to be able to be at the place where I'm creating the information and putting it out there so people can enjoy their vacations a little bit more.
It's interesting as well. I think, you know, I don't think it's only just appealing to foreigners, because I think, yeah, there's a good let's say percentage who won't end up in the Candelaria or won't visit the Candelaria because of fear and you know, terror stories and what have you. But also we need to get Colombians to come back to the center, those who've been pushed upwards over decades of you know, subsequent tales of terror from the downtown area and what have you. But we need to get them to come back and start to reclaim their city. I mean, I know of a whole bunch of students, which the furthest south that they'll go in Bogota is sort of around the Calle, so Street 43, which is essentially sort of, you know, 40 blocks north. Essentially, 40 blocks north of the center of the city. And so what I'm saying is they go as far south as their university and no further south for fear. But if we can get Colombians to come back, then, you know, foreigners will come as well, because there'll be, you know, an actual sort of vibrancy and a life in the Candelaria, which, as, you know, Justin will confirm, is present on the daytime, but at nighttime it empties out because the students leave.
Yeah, I find that... on the weekends, though, when the students are here, it's pretty vibrant, and it's a pretty great place to be in the weekends. There's definitely some issues that are concerns that people have concerns of coming down to this area. And I recently had an incident that has come out in my writings that I was actually robbed in La Candelaria, and it's been a big point of my project, a big change in my project.
Yeah, this is obviously, I mean, you know, you love the Candelaria, you love Bogota, you love Colombia, but to have an incident like this, Justin, has clearly changed your outlook.
It definitely has changed my whole outlook on my own personal safety when I travel, but also how I write about safety and safety in areas, because I write from basically a positive point of view in my writings, and I actually had to go back into my book and change the area, what happened to me, that there's a security issue in the La Candelaria. But I live in the La Candelaria right now. That's where I am right now. It's an extremely inspiring place. Regardless of the problem I had, I look at it like it's a big city. The big cities have issues, and that is as long as they're being talked about and not hidden, but addressed, along with all the good parts of La Candelaria, there is the part that is not so good.
Yeah, very important what you're saying there. Very important is that, you know, this is a big city. We can be lulled into a false sense of security, let's say, because if you're in the Candelaria and daytime is wonderful, great cafes, a bohemian spirit, museums, lots of people, you know, it feels secure. It feels friendly. It feels like it's fun. But, you know, it's a big city. And, of course, you've got a big city with a huge gap and divide between rich and poor. So, you know, there are going to be people, opportunists, delinquents, robbers, what have you, looking to take advantage of anything. And Justin, unfortunately, had a terrible, he was mugged. I mean, you know, on the way to a major tourist destination. But, you know, the important part is that you've changed your writing about it. You're honest about what you're saying. But again, you're not instilling fear into the people. Just say, you know, use your common sense. You were unlucky, but use your common sense.
Exactly. And I think the best for the people to understand the situation I went through is to go onto my blog. I wrote an article on the blog. It's lengthy, but I had a pretty positive reply about it. I just put it out there. It was difficult because I'm here to write about the tourism industry. I'm here to bring the positive out about Colombia and not put a spotlight onto the negative, but it's part of the deal, and I definitely have changed my own security outlook. When I leave my house, I carry very little money, very little possessions, and I basically am on my toes at all times. So I think people need to understand when they do come to Colombia, regardless where they're at, they need to have their security first in their mind at all times.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, Justin, we'll come back to this point because I think it's incredibly poignant and incredibly important. And, of course, we'll link to your blog in a second. Don't go away. You're listening to Colombia Calling on the Overseas Radio Network. I am Richard McCall talking to Justin Cohen of Explore Travel Guides Colombia.
Pack your bags and explore the world with us. You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network.
This is Jason Hartman, and I want to welcome you to the Jet Setter Show blogcast, an audio version of our written blog at jetsettershow.com. You can find the full-length podcast at jetsettershow.com or on iTunes, where we interview thought leaders and experts on exploring lifestyle-friendly destinations worldwide. Here is today's blogcast.
Thank you, Jason. Expats are discovering that travel to Tulum, Mexico is like finding your inner hippie. Maybe you never were a hippie but kind of wanted to be. Maybe not. Maybe you're just into nature, community, and a big helping of relaxation. Tulum is a small town on the Caribbean coast of the Yucatan Peninsula that, despite an explosion of growth, actually has a plan in place to manage the increased demands in harmony with the environment. In a word, the city has prepared to grow in a way that doesn't ruin the very thing that brought people there in the first place. For expats interested in travel to Tulum, expect to find subtropical forests, long, wide beaches, and the mystical influence of a Mayan past hanging over everything. While some of Tulum's beaches have become known around the world, it's easy to find long stretches of sand with hardly another human nearby, perfect for downshifting from the rest of the world. The turquoise Caribbean on one side and jungle on the other has caused many a visitor to lapse into a hypnotic dream state they swear never to leave. From biosphere preserves rich with incredible diversity of animals and plants, to the eco-themed parks designed to put you in touch with the area's history, nature, and culture, you'll never lack for activities to activate your get-outside bone. But is it for you? Maybe a week or month-long trip would be in order. As with any new area, it takes a while to settle in and discern the true vibe of the place. Maybe you'll like it so much that you'll break out the beads, tie-dye shirts, and start channeling Jerry Garcia. Then again, you might say, to hell with this. But for jet-setting aging hippies, travel to Tulum could be just what you've been looking for. For more, visit jetsettershow.com. For the Jet Setter Blogcast, I'm Will Weeks.
Thanks for listening to this audio blog, and please see disclaimers and important information at the website.
You're tuned in to OverseasRadio.com, the station to help you reach your dream destination.
And we're back. This is Colombia Calling. I'm your host, Richard McCall. I'm talking to Justin Cohen of Explore Travel Guides Colombia, and we've been touching on a very important topic, and that is of security here in Bogota. Justin, unfortunately, some weeks ago, was robbed in the Candelaria, the touristic and most important touristic point in Bogota. La Candelaria is wonderful. And he was on the road between the University of Los Andes, which is a huge complex, like a university city almost, up past the Quinta de Bolívar, going up to Montserrat, or coming down from Montserrat, I believe, Justin.
Yeah, I was basically walking down from Montserrat, and there's like a hill. I was walking on an incline, and it was at 4 o'clock, 4:30 in the afternoon, in the middle of the day, and two guys in a motorcycle pulled up, and a guy jumped off and had a knife and robbed me.
Yeah, I mean, this is pretty. I mean, you know, not kind of splitting hairs here. It's pretty ballsy. I mean, you're not a small guy. You could look like you could play American football. I mean, you look sturdy. But these guys knew what they were doing.
I'm about 5'11", 205, and he was a kid about 15 years old, probably about 130, 140 pounds. But he was good. He was like a professional with a knife, and he had me under control within about 3 to 4 seconds.
You know what? And, you know, it's better your life than whatever value you have on you. You know, it's better to save your life. And this has happened in Medellin. On the avenue up that goes up to El Poblado. This happens in Cali. This happens in any other city in the world, in truth. You know, it's an unfortunate reality, but, you know, it happened to someone who's going to write about it, but not, let's say, we're not slamming the country, just reminding people that while Colombia surges forward in terms of tourism, there remains, you know, the element of danger, and this must be recognized. Now, I don't want to focus too much on this anymore, but it's just something that I feel that we always address in this show, in Colombia Calling, because this is a pull show. We are trying to bring more people to Colombia and to change a little bit the image of what the country is without being a fluff radio show. You know, we want to tell it how it is. So I don't want to focus too much on this, but if you want to read more, Justin, tell us a bit more about your blog and the blog site, please.
Okay, my blog is at www.gotocolombia.com, and I released the blog in June, and basically it details my experiences in Colombia. I'm an informational writer, so I make it very simple. It's mostly photos, and I keep it simple. Once in a while, I'll get a little more in depth on subjects, but for right now, we run the blog about 5 to 6 days a week. The goal is to get it every day. I have a team of workers who live in Honduras and Germany who help me keep the blog going with both the translations into Spanish and the tech work.
Very good. So you've got a highly equipped team, and you're churning out the information that we need to read, information that is important to Colombia and tourism in Colombia. Now, Justin, you've traveled all over the country. Is there anywhere in particular that you always like to focus on that's perhaps not a region that's focused on? I mean, you know, I'm interviewing you here in Bogota, and I tend to be based here in Bogota or in Mompox in my small hotel up there. But, you know, is there anywhere that really appeals to you that travelers don't, let's say, ordinarily visit? What place can you recommend?
Well, my biggest recommendation is to visit Valledupar. Valle du Par, and I have a pretty strong connection with this city, and so I may be a little partial to it, but it's an amazing city that is basically been left off the map for the foreign traveler tourist markets, and it's a city maybe 400,000-500,000 people. It's very calm, it's very modern, but yet you still have the developing side to it. It's booming. It's building very quickly. The people are maybe the friendliest in Colombia. The Vallenatos are extremely friendly. And, of course, it's the musical city of Colombia with the Vallenato music, and it's lively, and it's just a very fun place to go to. And when I first moved to Colombia, I lived 3 hours from Valledupar, more towards the Venezuela border, at a coal mine, and every weekend I would ride my motorcycle to the city to escape from the coal mine.
Escape from the coal mine, it sounds like a horror movie. But like you're being exploited as a child laborer or something.
No, it's not that bad.
So you like Valledupar, and of course the Vallenato music. Vallenato, for those of you who are not aware, is the sort of perfect blend of European Colombian, indigenous, and African musical threads that have made something that's purely Colombian. Interestingly enough, so that's the guacharaca, which is indigenous, and the tambor, which is African, and of course the accordion, which is very European. Interestingly enough, I was just in Aruba, obviously it's not far from Colombia, it's just off the coast, really, it's off, just off the coast of Venezuela, but the most popular music that they were listening to there was Colombian vallenato. So trying to escape from Jorge Celedón and songs that are plaguing the airwaves here, I was actually just on the beach listening to them even more. But you like Valledupar, and I mean, it's a particularly special place. I guess that you bathed in the Guatapurí River.
Yes. Yes, many, many times.
Which is obviously the myth. Every time you bathe in there, it means that you're going to come back and visit.
Exactly. And every time I go to Valledupar, I want to go back. I want to go right back. I was just there last week, and I want to go back again.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, we're moving a little bit towards myths and beliefs here in Colombia. And, of course, when I first went to Valledupar, I didn't really think I was going to go back, because I went and I did recorded a sort of a small documentary on the Vallenato Festival, and had met many, many vallenato singers, ended up being embraced by a sweaty ex-president who then sang me some vallenato, who was so drunk. I didn't think I was going back, because I didn't see any further sort of, attraction. I mean, you know, I can see why, but there's so many other places to visit. And I did end up bathing in the Guatapurí, and since I've been back 4 or 5 times. So this myth is true. It works.
Exactly. It's and a wonderful place.
Yeah, you know, Justin's been overseas for many years, and one place he yearns to go back to. So there's something in the water there. But we'll talk about myths a little bit here in Colombia. And on the front page of the newspaper this week is, of course, there's been a march, a sort of protest march, a slight demonstration, not the ones blocking all the roads and the farmers and miners. There was a march in the city of Pereira, attended by several hundred women, who are determined to change the image that women from this town, the city of Pereira, which is in the coffee zone, so not far from Manizales and not far from Armenia, not too far from Medellin, really, they have a reputation in Colombia and abroad as being, for want of a better word, easy. And in one guidebook, not to be mentioned, not Justin's guidebook, there is a huge write-up on the fact that the nightlife is pulsating by this sort of lascivious nature of the women in Pereira. And of course, so they went on a march to try and change their image. I mean, I've never been to Pereira, Justin. Have you been? And can you tell me anything about this?
Yes, I stayed there last month. I mean, sorry, last year for a month.
Uh-huh.
I when I was in Colombia, I left Colombia in 2011, and I came back the summer after I left, and I spent a month there just relaxing. And I find that totally ridiculous what was written in that guidebook. I went out, and it's just like any normal Colombian city. It's not even that big of a city. It's just kind of very calm.
Yeah. So anyway, but they marched, I don't know whether this is a positive thing that they marched, or if they've drawn further attention to the fact that they've got a bad reputation. I don't know. It's all about branding, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
sounds pretty silly to me.
It sounds pretty silly to me. But also, yeah. Of course, the Colombian press, the El Tiempo newspaper, also took full advantage of this reporting, and the image that they used to show the protesters is an image of sort of 3 or 4 incredibly well endowed. I could say probably not naturally well endowed young women at the front of the march, all with their hair dyed blonde, collagen in their lips, and probably doing not a great deal to help their cause. But anyway, we don't believe here at Colombia Calling, neither at Explore Travel Guides Colombia, that the women of Pereira are easy. So there we go. Yeah. We said it here. Okay. Hopefully that will pick up a few more listeners in Pereira.
The rumor is debunked.
Yeah, that's right. So anyway, any of you out there thinking of coming to Pereira because of these reports, it's all untrue. You best look elsewhere. But I'm not going to tell you where. It's for you to find out. It's for you to come and visit in Colombia. Justin, other myths in Colombia? We've had the Guatapurí. We've had the supposedly easy women of Pereira. What else do we say? Well, if we're here in Bogota, the people will always say that the people from the coast, the population of the coast are lazy, which I've found to be untrue because I have a hotel. Have you got any other ideas of certain myths that need to be debunked about Colombia?
Maybe that that man could just come to Colombia and have that perception that is very easy to find a woman, a beautiful woman of their dreams, that they can snap their fingers coming around a 2-week vacation and all of their dating problems are over with.
Yeah, you're going to get in trouble with that, you know. I don't think you come down on one of those sort of trips, and I think you're going to end up with probably not the right kind of woman.
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of men think it's easy, and it's not. And when they come here, they find that if that's the main objective of their finding in their little adventure.
Yeah, this is true. And as a man married to a fine young lady from the Santander region, I can tell you that she is a fierce, because women from the Santander region are known to be, as they say here, bravas, angry. But she's not angry. She just kind of speaks directly, let's say. I'd be careful. I'd be careful if you're coming down on one of those sort of amorous adventures and to see, you know, you'd probably get muddled up and mixed up with the wrong people. But Colombia.
Exactly. I think if a guy, if he comes to Colombia and he wants to learn about the country, learn about the culture, learn about the people, and, you know, spend some time, maybe come here for many years and settle down. It's a little bit different story, but just the myth that you can just come in here and have that fantasy, I think, is shattered for probably 95% of the people who try it.
There we are, debunking myths about the about the women in Colombia. So therefore, you heard it here first. Listen, you're listening to Richard McCall on the Colombia Calling radio show here on the Overseas Radio Network. I'm speaking to Justin Cohen of Explore Travel Guides Colombia. Don't go away if you want to hear more truths about Colombia. We'll be right back.
Your expatriation destination. This is OverseasRadio.com.
Have you always dreamed of living abroad, but you are afraid it might be difficult? JustLanded.com helps you make the move. The free information on JustLanded.com helps you get a job, find a house, and a good school for your children. You can also meet other expats in our online community. Visit www.JustLanded.com and find out how easy it is to live your dream abroad. That's JustLanded.com.
Sit back and relax. You are tuned into the Overseas Radio Network.
And we're back. This is Colombia Calling. I'm your host, Richard McCall. We're talking to Justin Cohen of the Explore Travel Guides Colombia. Justin, several years ago, 3 years ago, more or less, wrote a travel guide, Explore Travel Guides Colombia, where he wrote about Bogota and the North Coast, the Caribbean coast, and started drumming up interest in Colombia, wrote an independent travel guide, very good one, and then just disappeared. He disappeared from Colombia, so we couldn't follow up. Justin, what happened?
So basically, after I was on the project for 8 months, I went broke. I published the book, but it was basically one mishap after another. Having no experience with publishing a book and marketing a book and everything goes with it, it was a shock to actually get to the finish line of producing the book. And it basically came down to dollars and cents where I just could not continue anymore in Colombia. And being in Colombia as a broke gringo is a very bad place to be.
Yeah, this is true. Now, so you disappeared. You went off back to the Far East. But you're back and you're writing a book that's called My Epic Failure and Slow Rise from the Abyss. Now, this is pretty dramatic. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
So basically, when my company failed, I was completely shattered. I went back to the United States. And I had to live with my parents in Chicago, and my parents are awesome, and they're very supportive, but I'm, at the age of 39, not the best roommate anymore. And after many months of this, I was very depressed. It was a bad time, and people in Colombia were wondering where I went, and I really couldn't follow up on the project. The book was just like sitting there, and I couldn't do anything about it. So I gave most of the books away. I wanted them into circulation, and I just kind of drifted off the project. I was very lucky. Basically, I have 12 years experience as a teacher in public schools in the United States and in international schools. I worked in Honduras in an international school and in Colombia. And then I got a job in Taiwan at a very good school, and I got back on my feet.
You got back on your feet, and you're confronting the demons that made you flee from Colombia.
Exactly. So I was in Taiwan and for a full year, and I totally forgot about Colombia. And like I said, I returned for last summer to get my stuff and to vacation in the coffee region, and I didn't work on the project at all, nothing at all. And then I went back to Taiwan, and I got dragged back into the project just through a series of events. And when I re-put my website and book back out in April, I was going to take it slow. I was going to keep working as a teacher, but things kind of snowballed out of control where people in Colombia were kind of like contacting, reaching out to me and saying, no, your book's doing really well here. You should really think about doing another one. And once I released the blog and I started getting thousands of hits on my blog, I decided that I need to get back in Colombia and be on the project full time. So I decided that I would come out with this book to tell everyone about what happened about the original project. So I feel like I'm rising out of the abyss, out of the hole I put myself into. I feel I'm very close to being successful. I just need more time to get my product out there and develop it some more and just basically become a successful book publisher.
This is interesting. It sounds very much like a cathartic project. You know, you're really facing up to some certain, perhaps malevolent issues in the past that you maybe encountered here in Colombia, but of course we can't talk about them because they're going to be in your book with the surprises in your book. But what do you need to make this book a reality, Justin?
Basically what I need is I need assistance with my Indiegogo project that I launched this morning 4 hours ago. Basically, I have a video and it describes the project. It's a 6-minute video. And on my Indiegogo page, I have many options where people can purchase the book in as a paperback or a hard copy. And even if someone can't purchase the book, just to go on and watch the video helps me with my numbers of my YouTube page. And pushes if they push like on the Indiegogo page and tweet and the Google+, it increases my ranking where people who are outside of my project will be able to see it on the Indiegogo page.
Sure, I'm a true believer in engaged social media usage, and so if you believe in this project, if anyone out there is listening and they want to help Justin create this project and, you know, tell some truths about Colombia and hear his adventures or misadventures, how do we find you on Indiegogo?
Basically, I think the best way to find me is to go on to my blog at www.gotocolombia.com. And on that front page, there is an Indiegogo like widget, and they click the widget and it takes them directly to the Indiegogo page. And then while they're on the blog, they can check out my blog and see the different articles on my blog and which direction my blog is going into. I really need help with people going to my blog because it helps me with my build my site. It helps me rank my site higher, and it helps me with future advertising with numbers and stuff like that.
Very important. It's very important that we get more text out there on Colombia. But your blog is different copy to what it will be in your book. You are not cannibalizing text,
no.
Are you?
No, the blog and the book are completely different. The blog is basically, right now I'm posting my week in Valle du Par, so it'll basically be like an overview of the area. It will include like restaurants and hostels and hotels, just different experiences I go on, different activities and stuff like that. The book is going to be a recap of what happened. It's going to be a little bit of background about who I am and how, you know, why someone would ride a motorcycle all over Colombia, why he would set up a project like this without experience, and to give you just more background on who I am, and also what happened in Honduras, in Colombia, in Taiwan, and now back in Colombia. There's a lot of things have happened, and it's a very good story, and I think I can put it pretty well.
I've been looking at the page, and it's, you know, this is a very dramatic, your title, My Epic Failure and Slow Rise from the Abyss. It sounds like you were really, like you mentioned previously, in a deep state of depression because you write something on that level. But to whom will this book appeal? Who out there should be reading this book?
I think people who are interested in Colombia will be interested in the book. And I think Colombians will be interested in the book because it's a lot about a foreigner's viewpoint of their country. And my viewpoint is extremely positive of Colombia. I really have very little negativity to write or say about Colombia. I've lived in Latin America for 6 years now, so I understand the complexities of it a little bit more. I mean, it's every day is an adventure, and I learn something new every day. But to have the background of living in Honduras and in Colombia really has helped me with this project, you know, keeping it going along. But I also think other people who just like stories of travel and like stories of people who are hurt, who just give everything they have and they fail, and they come back and they give it another shot and they have a chance at success. I'm not successful yet, but I'm very close to I see the success, and I just need to kind of get over that hump. And I'm going to keep going until I find it.
This is it. Well, we wish all the best for you here, Justin. I mean, you sound very, positive now. You see some, but as we say, those of us who have experience in Latin America always say, you know, todo es posible, nada es seguro. Everything's possible, nothing's for certain, nothing's sure. I'm looking forward because I mean, you know, you and I know one another on a friendly basis, and I don't know what's in that book. So even people who know you don't know what's in that book. So this is nobody,
like not even my parents, not even my family knows what's in this book. There's going to be some pretty serious revelations, and I'm pretty transparent, and I'm just going to put it out there what happened. I'm not throwing anyone under the bus. Maybe there's one or two people who may get special attention and negativity, but my experience with everyone in all the countries I've been in have been extremely positive. And I've worked with a lot of characters, and I've had over 25 people work on my project for pay, and every single person I've worked with has a story.
Yeah.
And the majority of them are Colombian, but many are foreigners from different countries all over the world. So I think it's just going to be an interesting read for people to see someone's experience in so many different countries with so many different people.
Right. So you've got this Indiegogo website, and for those of you out there who know about crowdfunding, it's a very reputable site and very important for various projects around the world, you know, and projects that perhaps wouldn't get the funding from mainstream businesses or what have you. And so, Justin, how much money are you looking for to make this project a possibility?
My goal is $9,000. If I raise the $9,000, then I will be able to do everything I need to make the best book possible, and I will be able to write that from inside Colombia, which I think is the best place for me to write it. If I don't make my goal, I'm going to go back to the United States and write from the United States.
From
my parents' house. So basically, I'll be writing a book about how I failed and how I failed again with the Indiegogo project.
Oh, no, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to read how I failed about an Indiegogo project. I don't know.
Basically, there is a book coming. Regardless of what happens, there's a book coming. Okay. But I really think that, especially the way how popular Indiegogo and Kickstarter is right now with projects, and all this, the celebrities are getting all these millions of dollars, and I'm asking for $9,000, which is actually providing income for university students, for people's families. And it's a really grassroots project that if I can make it successful, I can make a travel guide that's actually truly representative of the country. And I can also make the story that I have that I can bring forth to as many people as possible.
So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about someone who is creating a project, in the tourism economy where it does drip down. The money does reach the most needy. I do believe you were involved with various social projects, Justin, with your first book.
Yes. The first book, I traveled around and visited many charities throughout Colombia, and I wrote about them. I have not reconnected with my second project with the charities, the volunteer work yet, but that is coming soon.
That's coming. Very important, very important. This is an altruistic project. Not only is it cathartic to his own periods of depression and with some probably pretty earth-shattering revelations. You know, Justin, he's out there trying to make it happen and trying to do something for other people. This is what I like about this show. This is what I try and aim for. You know, it's people making things happen, but also working on behalf of others. You know, this is very important.
I definitely want to point that out, that there are a lot of opportunities in Colombia to help others who are in need. Foreigners can come into Colombia and give their time in a positive manner. It's just a question of connecting those opportunities with the foreigners. And I want to really, you know, make sure these organizations are doing what they're saying they're doing. They're using their funding to the correct way. So I go into the organizations and I actually, you know, hang out with them. And since I have a background in education, I'm able to see when if their educational programs are actually worthy of people's time.
This is very good. Listen, now, we're just going to plug all your sites one more time here. And thank you so much for being on the show. So listen, go on to Justin's website. Go on and read his blogs. Read the truth about Colombia and where to travel and what he's done. See what he's done. That's www.gotocolombia.com. That is Colombia, Colombia. That's how it's spelt. Not like British Columbia. It's Colombia. So go on that. Check it out. Check out the widget on his website, which will then take you to the Indiegogo page where you can
see. Can I add one thing about the blog?
Go for it.
I get a lot of people asking me where, like, Cali and Medellin and the Zona Cafeteria are on my blog. And basically, I'm building my blog as I go along. So the goal is to cover all of Colombia on the blog. So right now, it's more Bogota, North Coast focused. So down the road, hopefully, if I continue in Colombia with my project, I keep building up with all these other regions.
So yeah, you're not noticeably forgetting these places. You're not overlooking them. The idea is that you can do them in the future.
Exactly. I just need time. I need lots of time on this project.
We all need time. Listen, Justin, thank you very much for your time. Your Twitter handle is @GoToColombia1. That's the number one. The website is www.gotocolombia.com. Check out the widget. Check out the Indiegogo page. You're talking to someone here who knows about Colombia, Justin Cohen. Thank you so much for your time, Justin.
Richard, thank you for so much for having me on your show.
You're very welcome. This is Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McCall. I hope you enjoyed the show. Listen in next week. Thank you.
Live call-in shows and hosts from your favorite countries. This is the Overseas Radio Network.